Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who opens the heavens and draws us near with salvation. Amen. God is patient and merciful, desiring all to come to repentance. Trusting this promise of grace, let us confess our sin. Everlasting God, you love justice and you hate wrongdoing. We confess to fear, greed, and self-centeredness that make us reluctant to work against oppression. We are complicit in systems of exploitation. We choose comfort over courage. We are careless with creation's bounty. Look upon us with mercy. Turn our hearts again to you. Make us glad to hear your will, to walk in your ways, for the sake of our waiting world. Amen. Hear these words of assurance. God clothes you with garments of salvation and covers you with robes of righteousness. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. God's covenant is eternal, and God's blessing rests upon us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
Stir up the wills of your faithful people, Lord God, and open our ears to the words of your prophets, that anointed by your Spirit, we may testify to your light. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning. Our first reading comes from the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, the 61st chapter. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to release to the prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall rise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are the people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as garden causes what is sown to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all nations. The word of the Lord. I invite you now to read responsively with me Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced.
Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses in the day.
May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy.
For those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bearing the sheaves.
Our second reading is from the first letter to the Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. This is the word of our Lord.
Thank you.
according to St. John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you have to say about yourself?" He answered, "I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. You need an extra Christmas light. There's one right there. Knocked it on the floor. Whew. Christmas will continue. So will Advent. I see that whoever set this back up wanted to feel like they were further back in the congregation. It's a little further back than normal, so we're going to go ahead and move that up. Yes, and I will trip on that. So, Kevin, I don't mean to pick on you, but the first word that you said in the reading from Isaiah today, it was not right. You did not say, what did you say? Yeah, it's not right. Ruach is how that is actually supposed to start, Kevin. You didn't read Ruach?
No.
So you might not have known you read it, but actually you read it. It was there. Ruach, breath. Ruach is the Hebrew word, in fact, for breath, as in breath. This is human breath. It is somewhat powerful. I myself can blow out 40 birthday candles with it, although not all 40 at once anymore. There are just too many. With my breath, I can make noises come out of this lovely face, right? That can be powerful, certainly, especially in a sermon. But breath, ruach, this word that the prophet Isaiah is using at the beginning of chapter 61, he isn't referring to this. He isn't referring to human breath. So the way the rest of that phrase continues, there are two words after it. Ruach, Adonai, Yahweh. These are the first three words of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 61. Ruach is breath. Adonai is Lord. Yahweh, God. The breath of the Lord God. Now, what does it say there, Kevin? It doesn't actually say the breath of the Lord God, does it? It says the Spirit, right? So, the Lord God's breath. The Lord's God breath. I'm going to go through this door. When I come out, you better all still be here. Don't just ghost me, okay?
Lock the door.
The Lord God's breath, it has to be more powerful
than my breath, doesn't it? Please work. All right. The Lord God's breath has to be more like a leaf blower, for instance, except maybe like a billion leaf blowers, because I think the breath of the Lord God has to be an unfathomable, powerful breath. This same, what? Right. This same Lord God the prophet is talking about, this same Lord God is really the God that triumphed over Pharaoh. Anyone who came to our adult education class last week may know where I'm going with this. There's this verse in Exodus that I absolutely love in chapter 15, and it's a song being sung by the Pharaoh after, a song being sung by Moses after the Israelites are able to go through dry land in the Red Sea. And we hear Moses sing this: "At the blast of your nostrils, the waters of the Red Sea piled up." Blast is the English word. The Hebrew behind it is ruach. That's right, ruach, breath. The powerful breath of Moses' God, of our God, and Isaiah's God. And if you've been paying close attention, as I pointed out, you might be wondering, but the passage from Isaiah today, it doesn't begin "the breath of the Lord God." That's right. Ruach can be translated blast or breath or spirit. So we're going to do a little translation from Hebrew to English of our own today. We're allowed to do that. It's okay. And we're going to give this verse a bit more oomph, okay? The Lord God breathed God's spirit on me. The Lord God breathed God's spirit upon Isaiah, which is a bit more literal, is a bit different from that literal NRSV translation. But it shows in it God's activity. And if we continue in this verse, we hear the prophet say, "God has sent me." So, if we combine that with the first bit of our translation, I think we can faithfully translate this verse. We're going to skip a bit in the center about anointing because it doesn't fit with the sermon. At the blast of God's nostrils, the Lord God's Spirit is upon me, sending me forth. And now we can envision what this ruach, what this breath, what this Spirit of the Lord God is doing. The same ruach, the same breath that is so powerful that it can part the Red Sea, this blast of the waters of the Red Sea, that it parts the waters of the Red Sea, this blast of God's nostrils is sending Isaiah forth. Except that times like a billion. Sending him forth to do what, though? To do what exactly? To bring good news to the oppressed. To bind up the brokenhearted, Isaiah says. To proclaim release to the captives. To release the prisoners. To comfort those who mourn. Wow. Thanks, God. That's an easy list for Isaiah to complete. Isn't it? How could Isaiah, with his wimpy, measly human breath, do all of that? There's not a chance, I don't think. He could not do it. But the prophet makes it clear. At the blast of God's nostrils, the Lord God's Spirit was upon me. With God's Spirit behind me, with the breath of the Spirit at my back, I am sent forth and then able to proclaim the good news to the oppressed, the captives, the brokenhearted, those who mourn. Not my work, says Isaiah, but God's work through the Spirit. The breath of the Lord sends him forth. I got all that from, like, you know, three words. Wait, hold on. Now, as Christians, I was almost too soon. I got to go back there again. As Christians, we absolutely love this text because, I'm going to be a little mean to us all here for a second, we're a bunch of do-gooders, aren't we? As Lutherans, even as Lutherans, those of us who are supposed to reject works righteousness, you do reject works righteousness, right? Well, we got a Presbyterian over here in the mix. I don't know. We think it is our job to fix this world. We think this prophecy that we hear from Isaiah today is fulfilled in our doing stuff, in our doing good works. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do while we're waiting for Jesus to fully bring his kingdom into being, isn't it? We are supposed to make this world better. We, it's in you and me, we fulfill this prophecy, right? Except there's a problem. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus takes this scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he unrolls it. And he reads it to those gathered there in the synagogue, and he finds the place he wants to read from, and he reads precisely what we heard today from the prophet Isaiah. And when he's done, he rolls it back up, he goes and he sits down, and he just waits for the tension to build in the synagogue. Looking at him, like, is that it? Is he going to say anything? No sermon today? And he declares, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. That's right. Not in your doing, but in your hearing. Jesus fulfills this scripture, not you and not me. But are we just supposed to sit back and twiddle our thumbs? As we wait for Christ to return, Jesus already did, in fact, proclaim release for the captives. There's nothing for us to do, right? Of course not. Of course not. So how do we reconcile this? Not our work, but Jesus' work. But there's still something for us to do, right? There has to be. I know it's very confusing. It's really hard to be Lutheran, isn't it? We should just all be Presbyterian. During my installation service, Bishop Daniel offered these words, and these are the words that I offered to you all in my pondering this week as well. So for some of you, this might be the third time hearing them, for others of you, the first. And it's very important that we hear these words. Jesus reminds us again and again that we are the people of God, blessed with the promise that God is God and that we are God's people. That God loves you with a love that will never let you go, that you might love one another, the community and the world. We, and that's you and me, are the people of God, a people entrusted with a message and a mission. The message is pretty simple. If no one's told you, the tomb is empty. The one who was crucified now lives. And the truth of that message, it changes everything. The mission is to be sent forth with the message. The mission is to be sent with the message. And to partner with the living God to completely transform the world. And here I thought it was all about me, and you may have thought it was all about you, when all along, from the very beginning, God has had this awesome plan to recreate and renew, to transcend and transform everyone and everything, all creation, all the world, all nations, all tribes, all people. And here's the best part. God is going to use us to do it. That is God's plan. There is no plan B. There's just a plan U and a plan me, and me and you, we are more than enough, especially when the Holy Spirit enters in. except for he didn't get out. He didn't get out. The leaf blower. And I have to say, that is pretty powerful. That is why I've shared it with you now twice. And I can't say it any better than that. But I can, I think, demonstrate what Ruach Adonai Yahweh means to us. Don't go anywhere. We are not the breath of God. We are God's toilet paper. We are God's toilet paper. We're fresh toilet paper. We're not used toilet paper ready to go down the toilet. We're still on the roll, ready to be sent out by this God. But here's the thing. When I try to use my measly human breath, I can't do it. I'm not powerful enough. My breath is not powerful enough to send this toilet paper forth. I can't send any of you forth. Since you are all toilet paper, right? With just me sending you. Now, I'm going to repeat this last line. There's just a plan you and a plan me, and me and you, we are more than enough, especially when the Holy Spirit enters in. Hold this, Lydia. On both sides. Yeah. Y'all aren't Charmin, okay? Ruach Adonai Yahweh, the breath of the Lord God, the spirit of the Lord God, the blast of the Lord God's nostrils, sending us forth by the power of the Holy Spirit. Except for that, what I just did times a billion. Actually, 2.6 billion, because that's how many Christians there are worldwide. That is what the Holy Spirit is doing to us, sending us forth with the Holy Spirit's breath. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the Spirit of the Lord God, Ruach Adonai Yahweh. And when we get out of the way and let God work in and through us, this hard work, the proclamation of good news, of release to the captives and prisoners, well, it doesn't seem so hard because it is God's work. Jesus, the good news, shows up through our proclamation as we are sent forth by the Holy Spirit. And now is when I have to ask, and you might be asking, sent forth to do what? Now, I promise I will get back to that in a second. But first, I want to allow us to consider something. I made an accusation about you do-gooders earlier. You do-gooder Christians. Me too. Fixers, we want to fix this world. It's our job, right? But I have a question for you. If you are broken, if I am broken, how well can you and how well can I go out and fix this world? So, let me ask a follow-up question. What holds you captive? What holds you prisoner? What causes you to mourn? I think sometimes we are so focused and fixated on helping the other that we forget that this good news is our good news too. Wow. You want to know what has and sometimes does hold me captive? I've not kept it a secret to you. Anxiety. Crippling anxiety at times. And though it is controlled right now, there was a time almost 2 years ago after my first seizure in 10 years, that I was held captive by anxiety. I was held prisoner by anxiety. And you know what I found? I was not open to others helping me. Because I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to help others, right? And after like 4 months of being crippled by anxiety, by being held captive by this anxiety, I finally said, you know what, God, I can't do this anymore. And I opened myself up. I opened myself up to others being Christ to me. And that includes a counselor, that's right. We should talk about these things. A counselor. I see a counselor. It's okay. We're allowed to have counselors in this life because we don't have it all figured out. We don't have all the answers. I saw a doctor, and guess what? The doctor gave me some medicine to help with my anxiety, and that's okay. I opened myself to my family and my friends, to a church family. I absolutely could not at that time be Christ to the other until I opened myself to all of these others being Christ to me. Us do-gooders and fixers, we need this good news and release too because we aren't Jesus. Say it with me. I'm not Jesus.
I'm not Jesus.
That's right. This prophecy isn't fulfilled in our reading of it. We need Jesus too. And when we receive Jesus, only then can we be sent forth by the Spirit to be Jesus to the other. Which brings me to, who is this other? Sometimes for you, that other might be me, right? It could be your pastor. It could be your parent. It could be your sibling. It could be your niece or your nephew or your friend. I don't know. It is different for each and every one of us because you will come across others in your life that I do not come across in my life. We have others in our individual lives and others as a congregation. So who needs this good news is what we should be asking ourselves. Who needs Jesus? Who are the oppressed, brokenhearted, captives? Who is prisoner? Who mourns? By the way, the answer to that previous question, who needs Jesus? Everyone, by the way. But who mourns? Who is prisoner? I think we all mourn. We're all at times held prisoner. We all need Jesus. Who needs to experience Jesus through us? And if you're not sure, stay open to the work of the Spirit. Look for the work of the living God in the course of your daily lives, and you will find that other. I guarantee that you will. Which leads me to the final point. These others, the oppressed and brokenhearted and captives, the call is bigger than just ministering to them. It has to be. The call is for release of the captives, right? I'm able to stand before you today and preach to you like this because I have been released from the captivity of anxiety. Maybe not forever, but at least for now, I am released from that captivity. It's not a short-term fix. It's not temporarily. Right now, I am released, okay? So our call as Christians is to bring this good news to others, not just to temporarily fix them, not to band-aid over what's wrong, but to release them. And we know this because the prophet continues in Isaiah 61, and he offers this vision of the future for those who are prisoner, for the oppressed, and for the captives. He says, they will be called oaks of righteousness. What is an oak? It is a strong, sturdy tree. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastation of many generations. The Spirit of God sends us forth not just to sustain the other, not just to sustain the other, but to release the other. And once released, once they have been set free by the good news made available only in and through Jesus Christ, they too will find themselves called and sent by Ruach Adonai Yahweh, the Spirit of the Lord God. That is God's plan. That is God's plan. There is no plan B. There's just a plan you and a plan me. And we, together, we are more than enough when we are open to the sending of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for that, what else can I say but thanks be to God? Amen.
With hope and expectation,
we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all who await God's day of restoration.
Fill our mouths with laughter and our tongues with shouts of joy as we bear witness to the great things that you have done and the hope which only you can provide. Give your church a spirit of gladness as we gather in worship, mission, and fellowship. And as we are sent beyond this place into Galleon, Crawford County, northwestern Ohio, and beyond, merciful God,
receive our prayer. Even the trees of the field sing your praise. Protect forests, orchards, rainforests, and all wooded areas from disease and deforestation, and keep us grateful for their gifts of oxygen, food, shade, and shelter. Merciful God,
receive our prayers.
You love justice and promise your favor to those who are oppressed, brokenhearted, and incarcerated. Grant wisdom and compassion to those who work to improve public safety, including first responders and military personnel, and all who work within prisons, jails, and courts, that mercy and justice may reign and violence wither away. Merciful God,
hear
our prayer. Give us strength to pray for our world without ceasing, and move us to act with love for all who are in need, especially Michael, Paul, Marianne, Evelyn, Bobby, Dwayne, Caleb, Nancy, Jim, Karen, Marcella, Karen, Sandy, Deb, Bill, Linda, Ed, Wilma, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Today we especially continue lifting those in Israel and Gaza, for those who have lost family and friends, for those who are still being held captive, and we continue to lift those in all war-torn lands. Provide for all without adequate housing, food, employment, access to health care, both physical and mental. Empower us to give voice to those who are silenced. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Open our ears to listen and our hearts to receive those who serve as truth tellers in our church and in our society. Bless leaders in church and society in their tasks of proclamation. Amplify voices of modern day prophets, peacemakers, advocates, and especially those whose voices are ignored or marginalized. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Listen to these and all our prayers, O God of hosts, and restore us with your great and everlasting mercy. Amen.
Amen.
And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. Can you worship with our gifts and our offerings?
God, our provider. By your merciful hand, abundant springs up from the earth. Receive and bless these gifts as your own bounty. Let them be a sign of your steadfast love and faithfulness for all people. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will make all things new. In the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal, make your word take flesh in us, awaken your people, fill us with your light, bring the gift of peace on earth.
Come, Holy Spirit.
All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
As we await the coming of Christ, this meal gives us a foretaste of the feast that is to come. Gather around this table where all are welcome. Oops. Please stand as you're able to do so. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace.
Amen. Generous God, in bread and cup you have revealed your glory for all people to see together. Nourished by this meal, send us out to proclaim your good news of liberation and release, brought to birth in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated for a few announcements. All right, so adopt a family tree tags are due today. So if you participated in that, and please, you know, go bring your gifts now, right? they can, if you forgot them today, they can bring them tomorrow.
Yeah,
okay.
Delivering on Tuesday.
Okay, so anyway, so thank you for everyone who participated in that. We have a Christmas potluck today after church. So after worship, down in the social hall, I finally remembered the name of it. So please stay for that. We have an Advent service this Wednesday at 7 p.m. 7 p.m. at Trinity Lutheran. And this coming Sunday, pay close attention, okay? You have two opportunities to worship on Sunday. In the morning, it's kind of a weird year, we will celebrate our Sunday Advent service, the fourth Sunday of Advent, at 10 o'clock, like normal, okay? Fourth Sunday. Different sermon. That's right, I have to write two sermons this week. Different service, different sermon. Not a Christmas Eve service. So don't come in the morning thinking you're going to get Christmas Eve. In the evening, though, show up for a service at 7 p.m. It will be our candlelight service. We will start some pre-service music, I don't know, depending on how much we have, between 6:40, 6:45. So please come celebrate and celebrate our waiting in the morning and the nativity of our Lord in the evening. So please hang tight at the end of the service for a short conversation about the consolidation. I have an update and an announcement on that. So hang tight after the service for that. Mike, do you have an announcement now, or do you want to do that after the service? You said you had.
Let's do it now.
Okay. Mike told me he had an announcement.
Mike, you look like the world's biggest elf with that smile.
We got this in from the.
I'll take it.
From the congregation to our pastor. We know how much he loves wearing that white collar with the shirts, but we also want him to be able to let everybody out there know that he is a pastor and where he's from without having to wear that white collar.
Ah, very nice. Oh, it even has my name on it. So no one has to guess. They got a 6X. Just kidding. So there's one.
Actually, it's 7X. I mean, carry one of the kids with me. Maybe Andrea has some duties.
So thank you all very much. I appreciate it.
From the whole congregation.
Thank you.
Jeff, you want to stay here? You can stay with us. Randy, could you come up here for a quick sec? Done this past year, keeping the church in order, keeping the numbers right, and making sure everything flowed without any hiccups. And when there was, they were able to handle those hiccups. And Jeff went above and beyond the call of duty and got the carpets taken care of with minimal hassles. Took care of the ramp outside and did some other stuff with the AC and took it upon himself to take care of other things, so we agreed to take care of them this year.
Thank you.
There you go. So.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, both of you.
We meant to say Happy Advent. It's not Christmas yet.
Happy Advent.
We also got one.
Thank you all. Thank you. And with that, any other announcements? Yes.
Last call. If anybody wants to sing in a quartet, a trio, I'm not going to do that. talk to Andrea in the service. Want to sing Christmas Eve? Andrea's your person. Thank you.
All right. And with that, receive this blessing. Please stand as you're able. The God of peace bless you. The love of Christ sustain you in hope, and the anointing of the Spirit remain upon you. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Go in peace. Keep awake.